Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the news portion of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Well, it's no secret, and now is admitted to by the CIA, Iran has attained the status of a nuclear threshold state, able to build several nuclear bombs in just a matter of weeks. The world has failed to stop them, and many blame the United States for insisting that sanctions would work, and holding back Israel with actual threats, while empowering a revengeful Iran even more. So then, what do? The Obama administration holds out a white flag and lifts some of the sanctions as a good gesture to bring Iran to the table for talks to try to suspend their obvious achievements. John Kerry even said there was an agreement, but Iran said there really isn't, except for a few very minor adjustments. But devout students of Bible prophecy have always known that Iran, once called Persia, will, with its ally Russia and some others, one day try to wipe Israel off the map. To Israel's credit, from time to time, they have accomplished some covert attacks, which has slowed down Iran a bit, like many small explosions and cyberware attacks, particularly the Stuxnet virus. And there is talk of another Stuxnet-type cyber attack in the workings. And they're teaming up with Saudi Arabia, which is a real hoot. So they must be pretty nervous, wouldn't you say, even the Arabs. But this is just a stalling tactic. It's inevitable that it's going to happen, and God wants his timing to be exact. For there will be, during the tribulation, which is soon, an exact time that God will allow those nuclear missiles to be fired at Israel. However, God will reach down from heaven and take each nuclear missile and turn it around towards those who thought the very long and well-planned agenda would work, but actually they'll destroy themselves instead. Then the Israelis will know their Messiah from that day forward. So says Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22. I believe Israel's salvation as a whole will be their Jubilee year. And a very godly rabbi named Judah Ben Samuel had a vision way back in the 13th century where he said all Israel will recognize their Messiah in the 10th Jubilee from his vision of the Ottoman Empire beginning to rule, which was 1517. If you add 10 Jubilees, that comes to 2017. From Scripture, Matthew 24 and Revelation 12, we know that soon after Israel's salvation, God protects them in the wilderness until the tribulation ends. If Rabbi Judah is correct, and he's been right with all his other prophecies, then we could be looking for our blessed hope to call us up to meet him in the air within a year, maybe two. Jesus said in Matthew 24, these things must come to pass, heartaches. So don't fret about Iran. The God who never slumbers or sleeps has his eye on Israel. And according to Psalm 2, the Godhood is laughing at the enemy's stupidity and pride. Now, America is another story. Iran hates us almost as much as Israel. And since Jeremiah 30 verse 11 prophesies that all the nations where the Jews have been scattered will be destroyed, it's very likely that soon after the rapture, Iran, Russia, or both will try to make a full end of the United States. And just like with Lot who escaped, after our escape, only the unrighteous will be left. Most likely, judgment to America will occur then. Exponential moral decay, has happened right before our eyes, and sodomy is a leading symptom of a society that has rejected God. It's like a meter indicating the level of evil of a descending society in decay. And it's not just the sin of homosexuality, it's the open and now welcomed tolerance of it. In other news, fighting continues in Syria as the UN inquiry finds massive evidence that President Assad is responsible for crimes against humanity as the conflict's death toll hits 126,000. Syrian refugees put strain on Jordan, especially the schools, as tensions rise due to the double shifts and extra teachers needed to cope with tens of thousands of displaced school-age Syrians. Chaos and bloodshed continues in a profoundly divided Egypt. So far, international reaction has been slow, but with increasing violence and a state of emergency declared, the need for a political solution is growing ever more urgent. And here at home, Obamacare tops the headlines. All I can say is that it's a debacle. But then again, it's never really been about health care. It's all about controlling the people. Okay, time to move on, and I always welcome your comments and personally read all your emails. So just send them to Sheila@shofarministries.net. And let me know if you'd like to be added to our send list for occasional updates and the newsletter, which, by the way, just went out yesterday. Also, mark your calendars for this Friday to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, 11815 Chillicothe Road. We have great Messianic worship and a timely message on the soon rapture of the bride. Finally, it really is just you that keeps this program on the air. So please pray and ask the Lord what you can do to bless this end of days ministry. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Mishpucha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Mishpucha means family, God's family, our radio family. Listening to us live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your merry old co-host, with our effervescent and ever-enthusiastic Bible teacher and minister, Sheila Crawford. And before we start tonight, we were going to have our start with a prayer, as we always do.
Yes.
So, Abba, we just come before you and thank you for the privilege of serving you over the radio and the internet as well. We thank you for our teachers, really, who labor in your word daily, and then they share what they've learned. They share it with us, and we just thank you for them because they keep our fires lit. And we thank you also for the miracles that you performed for our fathers in times past in this season, season of Hanukkah. And we lift up to you again, as we do every day of the week, all the prayer requests that come in. And we just ask that you bless those people with your shalom, your peace. You bless them with answers and reassurance, healings, whatever they've asked for. And you are so faithful and you are so loving. And we thank you that you are a loving God. We bless you for that. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Amen.
And our soon-to-be deliverer and
That's
king.
Right.
Amen.
Hey. Thank you, John, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you have a question or a comment about this program, you can feel free to call either on the air or just give your question or comment to our producer, Derek, and he will forward it to me for your answer. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sheila, how about a quick recap of what we already covered last week?
About what?
It was the subject of the Feast of Dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, listeners, I want to encourage you to visit our website, www.shofarministries.net, for all previous programs, and you can listen to last week's program. And we are still in the time of Hanukkah. Actually, we lit the seventh candle tonight.
We did.
At sundown. And tomorrow night begins the eighth and final and very significant. You're going to find out day of Hanukkah, and that's going to be, it'll end on Thursday night, but it's a very significant day.
I think we're going to see that the eighth day of Hanukkah is probably the most important day of the year.
Wow.
I really believe that.
Hmm.
And
you got my attention.
You're going to see why.
Okay.
So we're going to teach that tonight on the importance of this eighth day. And being a teacher, I want to show you how you can arrive at the same conclusions that we have. It's so much easier to believe when you can walk through it and see it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just taking my word for it.
Right.
You don't share it that
and
way.
I know you don't recommend that anyone takes your word for it, but that,
no,
they,
of course not.
That they do the
That's
study
why I
for
teach.
Themselves.
I want them to see.
Yes.
But anyway, last week I taught on the miracle of the lit menorah, which is a seven lamp stands, and how it is a symbol for the church as well, and you know that because Revelation 1:20 says so.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed that last week and the difference between the seven-branch menorah and the nine-branch Hanukkah, and why. We recalled the more detailed history of Israel's enemies, the Seleucids, and their wicked ruler, who was actually kidnapped and raised in Rome. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he didn't come back to the area of Israel until his father died. But he is a type of the Antichrist, and we referred to the prophecies of Daniel 11 as well as Chapter 9 of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke on how Antiochus Epiphanes made the abomination of desolation,
mm-hmm.
declaring himself God, and how the Antichrist will do the same thing, according to Jesus in Matthew 24:15. History has a way of repeating itself. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all been done before.
I believe that. And okay, so Hanukkah is the miracle of how after the Maccabees destroyed their enemy, Antiochus Epiphanes, and his army, they started to clean up the temple and to light the menorah, but they could only find one small flask of oil, which was really only enough for one day.
That's right. And it would take a total of 8 days to properly prepare the olive oil for burning. I mean, they had to cold press it, and it had to do things. I'm not sure of the details.
It was a process, but
it was
a
process, and it would take 8 days. So, lo and behold, God did the miracle of having that small amount of oil stay miraculously lit and burn for 8 days until the more oil was ready to be used. And again, that is what Hanukkah is all about. But now, we, the New Testament Christians, can see even a better miracle in that I believe in what I want to prove is that Jesus was incarnated on the eighth day of this lesser feast of lights. And I just want to prove that. And of course, we can prove that by knowing that his birth was on the first day of the greater feast of lights. And we have to use that as our starting point so that we can easily see when he had to be incarnated. So tonight's gold nugget, I think, mm-hmm. again, as I said, is the cream of the crop.
Well, I believe it's actually the pinnacle.
Okay.
But let's begin one step at a time, and we'll go slow.
We'll go slow. That's
and
right.
If you listeners at home, this would be a good time that you might want to turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, right?
That's right, because there's a lot there. So, everybody listening out there,
grab a pencil.
Try to stay focused. That's the main thing. You've got to stay focused. If you get sidetracked, you're just going to have to listen to this again on the archives.
Thank goodness you can do that.
Yes. Yeah. You're going to see as well that it's really not that difficult, since we can know when John the Baptist was conceived. And that was during Pentecost, and we'll show that as well. So therefore, born John the Baptist during Passover, and Scripture also says Jesus was born 6 months after John the Baptist. So that's easy. It's tabernacles.
And there's scriptural proof of that, right?
Yes, there is. Okay, in Luke chapter 1, we are told that Elizabeth,
that's John the Baptist's mom,
conceived right after her husband Zacharias was told by an angel of the Lord while serving in the temple that Elizabeth would finally have a child and that he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit.
And that fits with John the Baptist being conceived during the week of Pentecost, right?
Yeah, you think? Absolutely. It's just like so amazing how God has arranged every little detail to match. You know, it's just amazing to me. Every time I really teach on this, I just get so excited inside I can barely talk. Because it's amazing. This is what Hebraic Roots is all about, you know, just kind of connects the dots. But anyway, there are these major clues in Luke 1. For instance, in verse 5 and also in 9, says that Elizabeth, who husband is Zacharias, was serving in the temple during his regular week and for burning of the incense, and tells us he was from the course of Abijah. Now, it's interesting, before you read that, that how many times have we read Luke 1 and we were first saved and never even thought twice about who cares about it's the course of Abijah? But do you know that's one of the most important statements in the Bible, because it teaches us so much, which is what I want to share.
Wow.
So why don't you read verses 5 and 9?
Okay. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
And verse 9.
According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
Okay, so basically, their division was the division of Abijah, and I'll explain that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But it's also interesting that only one of them from that division would be allowed to burn the incense and be alone in the holy place. So they actually threw lots to find out who could do it. And lo and behold, it fell on Zacharias, so he would be the one privileged to be able to go in and burn the incense. Now, there would be some priest, by the way, who would never get the opportunity to burn the incense, which, by the way, represents the prayers going up to the nose of God.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see how everything just fits?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I've taken your word for everything. I'm taking your word on it, and I'll look it up later.
As he hesitates.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how do we know why this Abijah thing is so important?
Well, this I know. I know this. This is because this is where the Hebrew roots comes in. It's very important.
You have to go back to the Old
Testament. You have to go back to the Old Testament, and you find that the courses were the way, I think, King David arranged the priesthood.
He did.
To serve so that they could all share the weight equally, right?
That's right. Right. Mm-hmm. And they were divided in 24 courses.
Okay.
That's half a year.
Serve
twice.
Ah, so that means that's the time of year you serve is your course.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's called a course.
A course.
And in 1 Chronicles 24:10, write that down if you're listening, people, there, it tells us that Abijah's weekly course served the eighth week on the biblical Hebrew calendar.
Mm.
And, of course, we know the Hebrew biblical calendar begins in Nisan.
I know that.
Their religious calendar.
That calendar's on your website.
So, yeah, it's different than the civil. This
right.
is the biblical. That's right. So, okay, so there we have the eighth week from Nisan.
And what does that bring into?
And then you have to add 1 week for the week of Passover, because the week of Passover they all serve. Okay, so now we're up to the ninth week, beginning in Nisan. And so we have Zacharias was prophesied to during the ninth week from Nisan that he was going to have a son.
Hmm.
And that brings you right up to the week before Pentecost.
Okay, and when we think of Pentecost, we think of the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Well, we as the Bride of Christ.
As the Bride of Christ do, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting that way back then, God would have John the Baptist,
who was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, conceived.
Pentecost.
That makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense, and it's just amazing that, you know, a lot of people don't see it.
So, it was a rarity, I guess, to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Well, in the Old Testament, of course, we know it was. There was a few that were filled. Do you know who else was filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do, and he had a big dose of it, and so did his predecessor, the guy that followed him.
Yeah.
Was the prophet Elijah, Eliyahu, right? And you can read about that in 2 Kings
That's right. And Elijah, of course, it even says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and that his, the one that comes after,
was Elisha, I think his predecessor means before.
It's the one who follows.
The one who followed him was Elisha.
And he had double the anointing. That's right. So. Amen. Here's the scripture where Zacharias was told about his son, and that's in Luke 1. So if you have your Bibles open, I hope that you'll be kind of looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like verse 15 and 17. So, John, why don't you just read the whole thing? Do you have that handy?
Yes, I have my Bible open, and I have my pencil, too, and my paper. I just have to turn back one page, I believe.
Okay. Luke 1, 15 through 17.
Yeah, I'm going to start right here with, "For he will be great in the sight of God. He is never to drink wine or other liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb."
That's talking about Zacharias was being told.
Told. And this is about his child, which is going to be John the Baptist, right? In verse 16, "He will turn many of the people of Israel to Adonai their God. He will go out ahead of Adonai in the spirit and the power of Elijah."
That's right. And it's interesting, too. Do you remember in Matthew 11, actually it's verse 14, when Jesus talked about John the Baptist and even said, John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah, and he is Elijah if you
can receive it.
Because they both had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Oh.
So how fitting.
How fitting is that?
Yeah. And now in the same chapter, Luke 1, in verse 41, we see now that Mary's visiting Elizabeth. Okay. And what does it say there? Can you read that?
Yes. "And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit."
So that's verification that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. Elizabeth's womb.
Elizabeth's womb.
He leaped, though, when he heard Mary's voice, because she was already pregnant and had Jesus in there.
Oh, and that's why he leaped.
Yeah.
Sure it is. You know, and you
this
take
is so fun.
Well, you take something as you think is a footnote, Abijah, the saying when Zacharias served his priesthood in what course it was, and we think of it. I always read that as a footnote. That's a by the way.
Yeah.
But here, the by the way is really the most important thing that, like you said, that we have to pay attention to, and it's just a good example of how God puts nothing in his word unless it's for an important reason.
Absolutely. Every single word, jot, and tittle is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And not one will pass without all the prophecies being fulfilled.
Well, I'm very glad that part is in Luke now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells us so much.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just like John the Baptist conceived during Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Since he would be filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's
and
right.
We need to know, we can also know in verse 36 that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary told her that she too would have a child. And we already said this, but I think it's important to read it.
Okay, yeah. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren."
That's right. Verse 36. That's where we get the 6 months, that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus.
Okay. From verse 36. All right.
It'd be 6 months after Pentecost.
Where does that get you? Well,
John the Baptist's conception would make it Jesus' incarnation into Mary during Hanukkah, also called the Little Feast of Lights.
And let's see, 9 months later is Tabernacles, the Greater Feast of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes perfect sense because, after all, he is the light of the world.
Voila. Pretty easy, don't you think?
Yes.
It really is.
If you focus.
Yes. And you know what? This is also was in my newsletter, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be printed out and you can read it and chew on it.
Is that archived as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
All my newsletters are archived as well.
As well as the radio shows.
Yeah.
That's very good.
There's a plethora of information.
and that's there for your use at shofarministries.net. Wow. So, you know, you don't hear very much about this. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest, I don't hear this anywhere except from you.
Very few.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why it's important that I teach how I learned this, because if I just say it, that's certainly going to be thrown out the window.
Well, sure, because there's a lot of, we can say, you know, there's a lot of people saying anything about anything these days, especially on the internet.
I have to say, though, I actually did hear two others that teach Hebraic roots on the internet, I can't even tell you their name, that are finally starting to say, we think Jesus was conceived during Hanukkah.
Really?
Yeah, they don't say the eighth day yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They haven't gotten that far. But at least it's a start, you know.
Well, that is a start.
Just think, John, I've been talking about this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what people looked at me 20 years ago when I was saying this?
I remember that because I think
I
was there and I asked you, gee, could I play the guitar and sing a song at your Bible study? Because I was very grateful to the Reverend Sheila Crawford. I don't think you were a reverend at the time. I don't know.
Well.
But I was very grateful because for the first time, I was talking to my wife about this. This is when I started to understand the Bible. The Bible started making sense when she put the Hebrew roots into the teaching.
That's it.
Into the teaching of, and I think we were doing the book of Isaiah, which was a huge monumental undertaking. I was understanding Old Testament prophecy. I was really understanding it. So I went from being a very, very immature Bible student to like a collegiate level Bible student just from that course. And it was all because you included the Hebraic roots, which I think is wonderful.
And it gave you a deeper hunger. See, that's
it
what happens. Once you start doing this and putting the pieces together, then you hunger for more.
Yes, you do.
And that's what God wants. That's the whole idea of being a Christian.
I'll take it a step further. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at a revival before I went to your class.
Mm-hmm.
And that Spirit was directing me to His Word.
Yeah.
And
that's very good.
That just was so beautiful. And that's how the Spirit works.
Well, we're going to take a quick break.
We are?
Yes, we are, because we've got a beautiful song. It's a Hanukkah song. We played one last week. We're going to play a different one this week.
Okay.
And you can explain it.
Okay, this song is called Ma'oz Tzur, and that means rock of the ages, I guess you could say, or our great rock, mighty rock of salvation. And this will be sung in Hebrew, and I think they sing it in English as well. And it's a traditional Hanukkah song.
It is. Very traditional.
And these children sing it in a traditional fashion, and they're very good. And we're just going to listen to the song.
And we'll be right
back. And then we'll be right back with more about Hanukkah and Jesus' conception on the eighth day. Okay?
Amen.
Enjoy. Me. We're back, and that was Ma'o's Tzor, a traditional Hanukkah song. And I got to admit, they sang it in a little non-traditional way, but the melody was still there. And they had some extra words for it, but in English, I apologize. I said they would sing this in English, but they didn't. But it's saying, Mighty Rock of my salvation, it is a pleasure to praise you. Restore my house of prayer, and we will bring a thanksgiving offering. And when you have prepared for the slaughter of the blasphemous enemy, I will finish the dedication of the altar with a song of praise.
Great song.
It is a great song. And welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Yes. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006. And please be sure to leave a detailed message.
Remember, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air. And I'm not kidding. And they're still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
And if you would like advertising for your company on this program, we can do that as well. Send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or house address. And you can also give tonight and just call us here at the studio here, 888-677-WORD, and let us know you're out there too, okay? All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net. Very important to remember that. There's recorded teaching, and the newsletters is just a great tool. Use it. And the phone lines, again, are open. So go ahead with your call. And I think we were going to mention this Friday night, we're going to be at Chester Christian Center, right?
Yes, we are. Did you want to give the phone number for them to call?
Sure. I'll give it again. It's 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D, or 9673.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
And yes, the first Friday of every month, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But that's this Friday.
Yes.
At Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is also Route 306 in Chesterland.
And it's close to I-90 and close to I-271. Mm-hmm. Well, we will both begin, and I will start us off with some Messianic worship at 7 p.m. And the blowing of the shofar.
That's right. And by the way, next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we'll be in Mentor. And, of course, we'll talk about that again next week.
Okay.
But if you have people that live out in that way, you might want to tell them. Sure, Lakeshore Assembly of God.
Lakeshore Assembly. So we've just learned some amazing things about the incarnation of the Lord.
We sure did.
On the eighth day of Hanukkah. And I got to ask, why don't more Christians know this? I mean, what do you think?
Well, personally, I believe it's because many Christians just don't want any part of their Hebraic roots. They think it's too hard. The devil tells them it's too hard. Even solid Christians have admitted to me they don't want to add that because they already have learned a lot and it's too deep. And they're just contented just where they're at. And it's sad because remember that scripture in Hosea 4:6 where it says, my people are, dama is the Hebrew word for lack of knowledge. That really doesn't mean destroyed, as we know that word to mean. It actually means dumb or silent.
And because you don't have the knowledge, you don't have anything to say.
Right, so my people are silent for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, yeah.
You can't share what you aren't willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's easy to see exactly when Mary conceived and was incarnated by the Holy Spirit, and then you just count back from the first day of Tabernacles, from when Jesus was born, 280 days, which is the normal time of gestation, and that equals the eighth day of Hanukkah. Jesus' number is 8. Never ending, means eternity.
And that's, yes, it does. You turn it on its side, and it's a mathematical symbol for eternity. There's no end to
infinity.
It. Infinity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And no starting or stopping.
That's
right.
It's a
great number, huh?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Don't you see, though, really, how it was so well planned out by God for it to be exactly this way. You see, Hebraic roots connects the dots, as I've said so many times. So again, just please re-listen to this program, and it should be on our web tomorrow, and make sure that you share it with your friends and loved ones. But let me add this. Again, it's not so much as when Jesus was born as the fact that he was born, and more importantly, that he's born in your heart.
And that should be a real celebration, right?
That is the real celebration. And you know what else? Another clue that he was actually born during Tabernacles is, and we talked about this in September,
mm-hmm.
that he was born in a sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't call it barns back then. It was a place where animals would also feed. Sometimes these sukkahs were permanent. They
mm-hmm.
would stay up all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people would put them up just for Feast of Tabernacles. But either way, there were animals there, and you can read about that in Genesis 33:17.
And at that time of Tabernacles, it was mandatory from the Torah that all male Jews live in a sukkah during the Feast of Tabernacles. They were also supposed to be in Jerusalem, too, which is when, they took the census at that time, too. It made more sense.
They were also called booths.
And they're called booths, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And they had to be able to see the sky,
mm-hmm.
so it had to be opened, some openings on the top.
Mm-hmm.
They actually lived them inside for a week. Now, today they don't do that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do.
Well,
okay.
They can because they put very wooden sides on them.
Yeah.
And you can, and they're just like a house. Of course, you probably have to go in to use the amenities inside your other house. But you can spend most of the day in them easily, and they definitely eat in them.
Well, when I was in Israel, they were huge.
Yeah.
They had huge ones.
Yeah.
You know, people went in there, and it was like a restaurant.
And right. And, yeah. And it looks like they're having a good time, too.
Yeah.
Kind of like jumping up and clicking their heels good time.
Yeah, I think so. Because you do, you know, dance and sing. It was the season of joy.
Yeah.
And of course it would be the season of joy. Jesus would be born in the season of joy.
That makes perfect sense,
That's
too.
That's right.
The dots really
Everything
do.
Everything fits.
Yeah, when the dots start connecting like that, you know you're into, you're onto something.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
Leviticus 23 also explains this as well. But
mm-hmm.
even the smallest detail, though, even the smallest minute detail was mm-hmm. arranged. And mm-hmm. I know this. God put these details in his word so we, who are kings and priests, according to Revelation 1, could find them. And what does Proverbs 25:2 say in the Old Testament? Remember that?
Oh, like I have it on the top of my head?
You have that memorized.
Yeah, I do. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And that means he's got something hidden for us to find.
Yes, and mm-hmm. he does it on purpose.
Yeah. Imagine how he feels when we don't go looking.
That's right. There's no doubt about it. It pleases the Lord greatly and probably even excites him.
I think so.
When he sees us searching for these gold nuggets, and again, as you said, he wants us to find them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll search for more. And, of course, more word, more power, more Jesus, more armor, and less of the enemy.
And that's the plain truth. And now that you said more power, it gives me an idea for a worship song this Friday.
I think we should do that one, don't
Maybe
you?
Maybe we should.
Well, anyway, and as well as we pointed out last week, Jesus chose this season of Hanukkah to speak of how no one can take us out of the Father's hand or his own hand. And you can read that in John 10:29-30. He also added, I and my Father are one. And of course, we know then they tried to stone him for blasphemy, so they knew exactly what he was claiming, his deity with God. And he chose to say this during Hanukkah, in memorial, I believe, of his incarnation. And one with God. He was God incarnated into Mary.
It couldn't be any more appropriate timing.
I know. And that's what he did with everything. Every single thing, especially in the book of John, surrounded one of the feasts.
Mm-hmm.
Even the minor feast. And this is a minor one.
And this is the minor one.
Supposedly.
But
in my eyes, I think it's the bigger one. But But, and I would bet,
mm-hmm.
if I was a betting woman, that he said that, what I just said, you know, about him and his father are one, I'll bet you that was on the last and final day of Hanukkah, the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
I mean, that would be a good guess.
Doesn't say.
You can't prove it, but
no,
it would sure fit.
And, of course, remember that's a new moon.
Yeah, it just makes it into that category, too.
Which is a sign of new beginnings.
That's right.
And I believe the day of the Lord, which, of course, begins with the rapture / resurrection, probably will begin on a new moon as well. What about you, John?
Well, I'm definitely, depending on that. No, I think indeed.
And new beginnings, it just makes sense.
It makes sense. That is the time. And being born again, they used to say, I guess, that the moon is born again every month because it starts out small and grows. And it's a figure of being born again. So I must say, this is very important. Remember.
Well, the new moon is a sliver of the moon's reflection from the sun.
Sun, yes.
Then as the moon goes towards more of the month, it becomes more white.
They say it waxes fuller and fuller.
Fuller and fuller until it's a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a picture of us and our new birth.
Mm-hmm.
Born again.
Yes.
First, we're just a sliver of the sun, and as we grow more towards him, we become more like him and more full.
The more we face the light, the more we reflect, and that's a great picture.
Yeah.
And, of course, now this is the season of Christmas, too, which we think is a copy of Hanukkah in a lot of ways.
A lot of times it's the same time. This is a little early this year.
Yeah, it's a little earlier this year. But, you know, if you have Yeshua in your heart, every day can be Hanukkah. Every day can be Christmas.
That's right.
And let me tell you, when you find these gold nuggets, it is a little bit like getting a gift.
Oh, yeah.
In a package and opening up, and you're so surprised. And I know when you run across these things, you usually call me, and
I know.
And you're very excited about this, and you say, oh, you got, wait till you hear this, you know? And it does excite me, too, although it takes me a little longer to assimilate what you said. But so.
Is that why you keep saying, now say that again?
Yes, I do say
go
that.
Go slower.
Go slower. Mm-hmm.
But it's just like the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day is the Sabbath to me when you have Jesus lives inside of you because he is the Sabbath.
Well, he's rest. He's our rest for sure. Yeah.
So, people, let's make this clear. Maybe December 25th is not the actual time for his birth. But his incarnation, I would think, is even a bigger miracle.
Oh, yeah.
But be sure to take advantage of this season. Don't shun it. And don't say, oh, I'm not going to recognize that pagan holiday. Because the devil wants to pervert everything. So he wants you to not even say anything about anything. But what I want to say is that most people do believe that Jesus was born on December
21st. Well, most Christians do, of course.
They are weak. They don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22. Can you read that?
Yeah. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some.
That's right. So you do what you got to do.
He took advantage of the seasons. I remember he said be instant in season and out.
That's too. Right.
And I believe he did that. He took advantage, like you said, of people's hearts this time of year. As we get closer towards December 25th, Christian hearts, people that are backslidden, it's a good time to talk to them.
They become more tender, I think, during this, especially the spiritual matters, you know. And look how everyone uses the lights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the light that hung on a tree for us. So, you know.
There's some analogies that can be drawn
utilize
there.
Utilize what's there and take advantage. Be sensitive and take advantage of the season.
Mm-hmm. And,
And then, of course, those that you can share this information, especially with other Christians. And while you're doing that, and here's another important part.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to look at the spiritual side of the rededication of your own temple as well. Like, is your light really shining?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say this a lot, the world is getting darker. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I pray it's not because the Christians' lights are getting dimmer.
I see. Every day, the kingdom of God is inside you. We have that inside. And be sure, we just have to be sure that our light shines all the time.
Never hide
it. And we're not supposed to hide it.
That's right. Never hide it under a bushel. And that bushel, as you said, I think last week, can be the cares of this life.
It can be.
So hung up on what we're doing and got to do this and got to do that and got to work, got to take care of the kids and run them here and run them there. And then
if you look at the news when you get home, you go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, I really do pray that you will use the story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to perhaps bring someone back whose light might be going out.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to put that someone in your path and then be obedient. Sometimes you might have to be blunt, you know, like, I detect your light is getting dim. Let me help you. Wow. And you know, we see a lot of that today. You know, Christians, again, they're just being bogged down with the cares of this life. And I don't see anything wrong with a friend, if you see that happening, to say, hey, you know what? Your light's going down.
I think sometimes, too, that your enthusiasm in God's word can be catching to other people,
That's
too.
Right. You've got to be enthusiastic and excited
mm-hmm.
about who you are in Christ, and that's be mm-hmm. joyful.
Yes.
You know, and you shouldn't have to run off to all kinds of, you know, where they jump around and
miracle,
all that.
Miracle meetings or whatever.
You should be able to stay joyful all the time right at home.
Okay. I agree with that.
We only have a few minutes, but would you tell them real quick
about
what they cook during Hanukkah? And
well, yeah, we were going to talk a little bit about that. The subject is oil, and of course the oil lasted for 8 days, and we had a day supply lasted for 8. That's a miracle. So celebrated on the Feast of Hanukkah is foods that are oily or made with oil or deep fried.
That's right.
And the one that my favorite is latkes, and they are made from...
It's pretty traditional.
Traditional, and they're made from potatoes and onions shredded, of course, and an egg, I think, and just mix it up and deep fry them and put a little salt and pepper on them, and then you put sour cream or applesauce on them, but they're oily.
Yes, you know, they are.
And it takes a lot of oil. If you want them proper, you have to really... put a lot of oil in the pan if you want them to come out right. And
they don't need to be eaten once a year.
Yeah, I know. And I have one more day to eat them, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make some more.
Well, then you better give me one.
Oh, I'll give you two.
Okay. That's good. One for my husband. That's great.
And then there are donuts.
Yes.
And for this particular festival, they most Jewish people choose the jelly-filled donut. And or with the, I don't know, not cream filled, but they have fruit filling, like blueberries or something.
Why fruit, not cream?
Well, I don't know, because I think fruit is more of a representative of God's fruit and
that's probably true.
And His spirit. Yeah. And of course, donuts are made by deep frying them in oil.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, John, for that. And that's our Hanukkah lesson, and we're spot out of time.
Oh, we are. So remember. If you don't remember anything else, latkes are made with potatoes and onions and an egg.
There you go.
And salt and pepper. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I hope, listener, you've made Yeshua Lord of your life. And if you haven't, and you just have the head knowledge of Him and not the heart conviction, I'll tell you, this is all you have to do to remedy that. You get on your knees. You can do it right now. And just repent of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. They can be on your lips. God hears you. You can say them out loud, but he hears your thoughts too. Commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. Tell him that you're going to serve him and that you're going to rely on his help to do so. Remember, it's always your choice of where you spend eternity and how you live down here too.
It really is their choice. And I just wish that people would understand that.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't do it.
God doesn't send people to hell. But he does give us a chance. And more than many chances, to decide ourselves where our soul can go. Because our soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere. There's only two places, and you want to be in a good place. You want to be with God.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says there's pleasures at His right hand. Amen. And you think the world has pleasures? Well, I'll tell you what, you cannot compare to what God has for you. They cannot compare.
And then get in the Word of God so that you'll get that power, and then fulfill the Great Commission.
Which is?
Do what Jesus told us to do. It's at the end of most of the Gospels, certainly Matthew. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own.
And why?
Because judgment is very near. It really is. So, John, could you please say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 in his perfect language? Because God told Moses how to bless the people, didn't he?
He sure did. I'd be very honored to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasim lecha shalom.
And that says in English, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, mark your calendars for this Friday, Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. And join us again next Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
And until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper, and not maybe. And that's Psalm 122:6.
That's a sure thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. We'll
Shalom,
see you next
everybody.
Week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries. The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.